This week on Vaticano, join us in celebrating the 45-year anniversary of Pope St. John Paul II's election to the papacy. Sit down for a conversation regarding Pope Francis's apostolic exhortation, Laudate Deum, dedicated to climate change. And this year marks the 20-year anniversary of the beatification of Mother Teresa. Vaticano starts now. The second full week of the Synod on Synodality concluded with the appointment of members to the commission to guide the process for the final synthesis document.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Cardinal Joseph William Tobin, recently appointed as a member of the Information Commission, emphasized the importance of avoiding top-down themes. October the 12th was dedicated to discussions on wars. The participants prayed for peace in the Holy Land and also discussed the situation of Christians in Iraq. The main themes addressed included peace, poverty, and migration. The presence of Cardinal Marc Avelin on the Commission for the Synthesis Report indicates a possible focus on the Mediterranean. Cardinal Jean-Claude Hollerich, the Relator General, concluded the first session with a call for all to be a part of the Church, bearing witness to God's love for the world. He emphasized the importance of starting from concrete, personal, and collective experiences of the people of God, who have spoken through the listening phase. On Sunday, October the 15th, Pope Francis published his apostolic exhortation about St. Thérèse of Lisieux. In his letter, the Holy Father pays tribute to the little greatness of the 19th century Carmelite. He writes, "St. Thérèse's genius consists in leading us to what is central, essential, and indispensable. The young saint whose life and writings focused on love and following the, quote, little way of holiness, shows that while it's true that all the Church's teachings and rules have their importance, their value, their clarity, some are more urgent and more foundational for the Christian life." In the letter, Pope Francis goes on to say, "From heaven to earth, the timely witness of St. Thérèse of the Child Jesus and the Holy Face endures in all the grandeur of her little way." The Pope's exhortation takes its title, C'est la confiance, or it is trust, from a quotation in one of Thérèse's letters. It is trust and nothing but trust that must lead us to love. St. Thérèse, also called St. Thérèse of the Child Jesus and the Holy Face, or the Little Flower, was a French Carmelite nun who died in 1897 from tuberculosis at the age of 24. In 1997, she was proclaimed a doctor of the Church. In her autobiography, Story of a Soul, St. Thérèse recounted her little way of holiness and her desire to spend heaven doing good on earth. She is a patron saint of missionaries, and her liturgical feast is October the 1st. 2023 marks her 150th birthday and the 100th anniversary of her beatification. In June, Pope Francis had already shown his closeness to the saint when he prayed before a relic of St. Thérèse of Lisieux during a general audience in Rome, before undergoing abdominal surgery the same day.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vatican Updates, the most important news from Pope Francis and the Vatican. Israel has called on the Vatican to issue a clearer condemnation of Hamas's terrorist acts. Comments from the Pope Francis and other Vatican officials in the aftermath of Hamas's October 7th attack on Israel have called for peace in the region while condemning violence against civilians on both sides. Israeli Foreign Minister Eli Cohen said Israel expects, quote, the Holy See to issue an unequivocal and clear condemnation of the murderous terrorist acts perpetuated by Hamas terrorists that caused grievous harm to children, women, and the elderly just because they are Jews and Israelis. The Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem had called for a day of prayer and fasting on October 17th for peace and reconciliation in the Holy Land. Cardinal Pier Battista Pizzaballa has urged Catholics to organize times of prayer with Eucharistic adoration and recitation of the Rosary to deliver to God the Father our thirst for peace, justice, and reconciliation. Cardinal Pizzaballa, the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, has made a statement to the press expressing his willingness to offer himself as a hostage in a hypothetical exchange with children held captive by Hamas in Gaza. He also shared his concerns about the possible Israeli military's ground operation in the Gaza Strip and his concerns about the potential for a regional conflict that goes beyond Gaza or the West Bank, potentially affecting the entire Islamic world and all Arab countries. In his message on World Food Day 2023, Pope Francis said that the world is marked by a stark reality, where poverty and despair continue to plague many people. The pontiff reflected on the theme of this year's World Food Day, water is life, water is food, leave no one behind, underscoring the replaceable value of his resource for all living beings on the planet. World Food Day is held every year on October 16th to draw attention to the fact that millions of people around the world still suffer from hunger. At the general audience, Pope Francis focused on the story of the Sudanese-Italian Saint Josephine Bakita, which he described as an existential parable of forgiveness. Born in 1869 in the region of Darfur, Josephine was sold into slavery as a young girl. She endured incredible hardship, being forcibly converted to Islam and subjected to scarification, a process by which the skin is intentionally cut or branded to make a set pattern. Pope Francis praised her example and said, "Only in the weakness of the oppressed can the force of God's love, which frees both, be revealed." Thank you for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. I'm Matthew Santucci for EWTN Vaticano.
In a few moments, we'll be back with more on Vaticano. On October the 16th, 1978, 45 years ago, at 6:18 p.m., white smoke billowed out from the chimney of the Sistine Chapel. After half an hour, Cardinal Pericles Felici announced the election of Cardinal Karol Wojtyła, under the name of John Paul II, as the 264th Pope. At first, the 58th Archbishop of Krakow wanted to call himself Stanislaus I, in honor of the patron saint of Poland. But Wojtyła chose John Paul in memory of his predecessor, Albino Luciani, who passed away after only 33 days of his pontificate.
I do not know if I can well explain myself in your Italian language. Correct me if I make mistakes.
Karol Józef Wojtyła was born in the Polish town of Wadowice, a small city 50 kilometers from Krakow, on May the 18th, 1920. He was the youngest of three children born to Karol Wojtyła and Emilia Kaszerowska. He was baptized on June the 20th, 1920. Upon graduation from high school in Wadowice, he enrolled in Krakow's Jagiellonian University in 1938. The Nazi occupation forces closed the university in 1939, and Wojtyła had to work in a quarry to earn his living. In 1942, he began courses in the clandestine seminary of Krakow. After the Second World War, he continued his studies in the major seminary of Krakow and was ordained to the priesthood on November the 1st, 1946. Shortly afterwards, Cardinal Sapieha sent him to Rome, where he finished his doctorate in theology. Upon returning to Poland, he became chaplain to university students. On July the 4th, 1958, he was appointed titular bishop of Omby, an auxiliary of Krakow, by Pope Pius XII. In 1964, he was appointed Archbishop of Krakow by Pope Paul VI, who made him a cardinal in 1967. Wojtyła took part in the Second Vatican Council, where he made an important contribution to drafting the constitution, Gaudium et Spes. The cardinals elected him pope at the conclave of the 16th of October, 1978. On the 22nd of October, he solemnly inaugurated his Petrine ministry as the 263rd successor to the apostle. His pontificate, one of the longest in the history of the Church, lasted nearly 27 years. John Paul II exercised the Petrine ministry with a tireless missionary spirit. He made 104 pastoral visits outside Italy and 146 within Italy. On October the 5th, 1995, Pope John Paul II visited the United Nations headquarters in New York to mark the 150th anniversary of the organization's founding. His speech focused on the importance of freedom for human flourishing.
A presupposition of a nation's rights is certainly its right to exist. Therefore, no one, neither a state nor another nation, nor an international organization, is ever justified in asserting that an individual nation is not worthy of existence.
As Bishop of Rome, he visited 317 of the city's 333 parishes. He had more meetings than any of his predecessors with the people of God and leaders of nations. More than 17,600,000 pilgrims participated in the general audiences he held on Wednesdays. His love for young people brought him to establish World Youth Days. The 19 World Youth Days celebrated during his pontificate brought together millions of young people from all over the world. At the same time, his care for the family was expressed in the World Meeting of Families, which he initiated in 1994. John Paul II often spoke to young people, encouraging them to open their hearts and minds to Christ.
O Christ, the World Youth Day, looking at you.
He promulgated the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the light of tradition as authoritatively interpreted by the Second Vatican Council. On April the 2nd, 2005, at 9:37 p.m., while Saturday was drawing to a close and the Lord's Day was already beginning, the octave of Easter and Divine Mercy Sunday, John Paul II departed this world for the Father. From that evening until April the 8th, date of the funeral of the late pontiff, more than 3 million pilgrims came to Rome to pay homage to the mortal remains of the Pope. Some of them queued up to 24 hours to enter St. Peter's Basilica. Released on October the 4th, the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, Pope Francis's apostolic exhortation titled Laudate Deum, addressing climate change. Immediately after the release of the apostolic exhortation, a press conference was held, which saw the participation of young writers, intellectuals, activists, and even Nobel laureate Giorgio Parisi, who deemed this document indispensable. To delve deeper into this exhortation, we spoke with Professor Rodrigo Guerra, Secretary of the Pontifical Commission for Latin America, and an expert on this pontificate.
Bueno, ¿cómo interpreta el Papa Francisco la conexión entre el cambio climático?
Well, how does Pope Francis interpret the connection between climate change and the damage that our human actions by human responsibility are causing to everything related to the environment?
Que tienen que ver con el medio ambiente.
Sí, desde que se preparaba Laudato Si, el Papa Francisco se le dio a conocer.
Since the preparation of Laudato Si, Pope Francis became aware that there is a significant scientific, political, and cultural controversy surrounding climate change. Some people believe that the changes we are currently witnessing in global climate, which we all bear witness to, are simply the result of the Earth's natural cycles that occur over a certain number of centuries. Therefore, they argued that we should not attribute this enormous climatic transformation to pollution or human intervention.
A la intervención humana, este tipo de transformación climática tan enorme. Sin embargo,
however, this controversy has slowly generated a series of consensuses in the scientific community, not absolute, but quite strong. We can say that the most widely accepted hypothesis in the scientific community today, from an interdisciplinary perspective, is that climate change has a significant anthropogenic component. In other words, its origins are to a large extent due to the unfortunate interventions that humans have made in our environment and nature.
Que los seres humanos tenemos con nuestro medio ambiente y nuestra naturaleza.
In fact, the Pope tells us that we are not reacting sufficiently to this phenomenon. He says that the world is falling apart. It's almost as if it's a somewhat apocalyptic view. But after 8 years since the publication of Laudato Si, the Pope wants to convey something new to us.
And today, this new encyclical, which should be interpreted in light of what was already said in Laudato Si, essentially tells us that the future that seemed distant is becoming our nearest present. Why? Because environmental deterioration trends indicate that the Earth may soon enter a global systemic crisis, and we need global actions without exception. With just one country, for example, neglecting the emission of greenhouse gases, we cannot truly correct the global phenomenon. We all have to act synergetically and cooperatively.
The Pope also speaks about climate change deniers and says that we should not mock them, but rather support the so-called activists who speak about global warming, which cannot be denied.
That's right. In this world of post-truth, conspiracy theories, and the presence of opinions that sometimes compete with science, often based on pseudoscience or prejudices, there is a culture of denial that has been growing and gaining adherence, often motivated by strong economic interests that would like to expand at the expense of certain natural areas in different parts of the earth.
Con el sacrificio de ciertas zonas naturales en distintas partes de la tierra, el Papa Francisco consciente de que
Pope Francis, aware that there are groups that discourage information simply to expand their business interests, makes strong statements about the denial of the anthropogenic origin of climate change.
Negacionismo sobre el origen antropogénico del cambio climático.
We need to open our eyes, not just from a naive standpoint, but by paying attention to the best science of our time.
In fact, in the last part of the encyclical, the Pope invites us again to praise God through creation and integral ecology.
What the Pope really does is much like what St. Francis of Assisi did. Help us understand that there is a secret and mysterious presence of God in everything, in everyone, that we need to learn to recognize, even in a topic like the environment. By looking closely at the creation, the environment, and the nature that God has given us, we can more fully praise God and become more like brothers and sisters. Praising God, being responsible for the environment, and living as brothers and sisters are things that are synergistic in the perspective of Francis of Assisi and also in the teaching of Pope Francis today.
Well, praising God, being brothers and living in harmony with our surroundings. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ari Ramos, and thank you to EWTN for your interest in these important themes of contemporary pontifical teaching.
We'll be back after a short break with more on Vaticano.
that in touching the broken bodies of the poor, she was touching the body of Christ. It was to Jesus himself, hidden under the distressing disguise of the poorest of the poor.
Mother Teresa was beatified on October the 19th, 2003 in St. Peter's Square by Pope St. John Paul II. This year marks the 20-year anniversary of her beatification. Agnes Gonja Boyaju was born on August the 26th, 1910 in North Macedonia. As a nun, she chose the name Teresa to honor Saints Therese of Lisieux and Teresa of Avila. She joined the Sisters of Loreto at the age of 17 and began teaching in the congregation schools in Calcutta. She taught in those schools for more than two decades. During that time, she received God's call to serve in a different way. In 1950, she founded the Missionaries of Charity. The religious congregation focused on serving the poor, the dying, and the unwanted in society.
My prayer for you is that you grow in the love of God, that you grow in holiness, in goodness, by this love for one another, that you make your family a home of love, of peace, of joy, that you make your neighborhood a place of love, of peace, and joy. This is my prayer for you.
He was also a vocal defender of the unborn and rallied against nuclear weapons.
The presence of nuclear in the world has created fear and distrust among nations, as it is one more weapon to destroy human life, God's beautiful presence in the world. Just as abortion is used to kill the unborn child, this new weapon will become a means to eliminate the poor of the world.
For her work, Mother Teresa was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1979 and the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1985. Mother Teresa was also a dear friend of Pope St. John Paul II. She died on September the 5th, 1997, at the age of 87. She was beatified only 6 years after her death. Fewer than 20 years later, on September the 4th, 2016, she was canonized by Pope Francis and declared a saint.
Penso che forse avremo un po' di difficoltà.
I think that perhaps we may have some difficulty in calling her Saint Teresa. Her holiness is so near to us, so tender and so fruitful, that we continue to spontaneously call her Mother Teresa.
Continueremo a dirle Madre Teresa.